The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the April 2018 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. We're going to start today on page 8, the second line of Who's Who in Sports. Alicia Gray, guard, the wings. Her height is 6 feet. Her weight is 167 pounds. She was born January 12, 1995 in Greenwood, South Carolina. Gray was named the 2017 WNBA Rookie of the Year after starting all 34 games and leading first-year players with 13 points per game. She played two seasons at North Carolina and was the team's leading scorer as a sophomore before transferring to South Carolina. She helped the Gamecocks win the 2017 NCAA title and was named to the all-tournament team. At Washington County High, she was the Georgia Class 3A Player of the Year 3 times. Question: which team did South Carolina defeat to win the 2017 Women's National Collegiate Athletic Basketball Basketball title? Do 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 do. Answer? Mississippi State. Good job. Next, we have Nick Foles, quarterback, Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. His height is 6'6". His weight is 243 pounds. He was born January 20th, 1989 in Austin, Texas. Foles was named MVP of Super Bowl 52 after throwing for 373 yards and 3 scores and catching a touchdown in Philadelphia's 41-33 win over the New England Patriots. He signed with the Eagles in March 2017 to be the team's backup quarterback when Carson Wentz went down with a season-ending knee injury in Week 14. Foles became the starter. Originally drafted by the Eagles in 2012, Foles started a career-high 11 games in 2015 with the Rams. Question: for which college did Foles play football? Do 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 do. Answer: University of Arizona. Next and finally for this evening, we have Ramat Alhassan, middle blocker, Florida. Her height is 6'4". She was born September 7, 1996 in Glen Arden, Maryland. Alhassan led the country in blocks per set, 1.7, in 2017, her senior year. Over her 4 seasons at Florida, she had a .423 hitting percentage, tied for the 7th highest in NCAA history. In 2017, Alhassan became the 6th athlete to earn both Southeastern Conference Player of the Year and Freshman of the Year honors. She has competed for the United States Women's National Team since 2015, helping the squad win bronze at the 2016 Pan American Cup and gold in 2017. Question: to which team did Florida fall in the 2017 NCAA title game? Do 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 do. Answer: University of Nebraska in 4 sets. Let's go to page 16-4 Sound Off. What would be the first clip on your U Sports highlight reel? Well, I was the best at pitching in baseball. I had a pretty nasty curveball as a little league kid. I was in the league, so I'd say something from when I was probably 12, 13, or 14. That's from Martin Truex Jr., NASCAR driver and 2017 Cup champion. Well, I was 9 or 10 years old, and I was a running back for the Round Duck Dragons in Texas. I remember it was a handoff to the right, and I broke like 6 tackles on the route, getting hit in the legs, shedding defenders. I was spinning, stiff-arming, and I was going down the right sideline. I was stopping and letting guys go by, and I took it in for a touchdown. My parents were watching. My dad was the coach. I was the fastest kid there and the most athletic. They were proud, but it wasn't like, oh, my gosh, a surprise. That's from Eric Rowe, Patriots cornerback. A bicycle kick goal. When I played at the district level in Panama, I scored a bicycle kick goal as a forward. Later on in my career, I switched positions to defender. That's from Roman Torres, Seattle Sounders defender. Now it's time for prime time. Ike Opara. His team, Sporting Kansas City. His position, defender. Spotlight. Long dogged by injuries, the 8-year veteran finally stayed healthy in 2017 and established himself as one of the best players in Major League Soccer. Now he's hoping to maintain his status as the top defender in the league. Last season was a pivotal one for Ike Opara. The Sporting Kansas City center back was named MLS Defender of the Year after anchoring a group that allowed only 29 goals, fewest in the league. He made a career-high 30 starts and played every minute of each game. He chipped in on offense, too, with one of his 3 goals coming off a bicycle kick that led a TV announcer to exclaim, "There's nothing like Ike Opara that he can't do." The play was nominated as the Major League Soccer Goal of the Year. In January, Opara made his United States national team debut, helping anchor the back line in a 0-0 tie with Bosnia and Herzegovina. It was the year Opara had been waiting for, the one he knew would come, even if he didn't quite know when. He persevered through 4 surgeries, months of recovering from injuries, moments when he didn't know what his future would hold. Now, after everything he's been through, the 29-year-old is focused on keeping his career on an upward trajectory. Taking a back step, I think, wow, this is really impressive. To be where I was, to where I am now, he says. Shows a picture of Opara here. Healthy foot forward. Opara was finally injury-free and responded by having the best season of his career and making his national team debut. Setback. In 2011, Opara was a rising star. He had won a national title with Wake Forest as a freshman in 2007. And after earning All-America honors as a junior, he left for Major League Soccer. The San Jose Earthquakes selected him 3rd overall in the 2010 draft, and he scored 3 goals in 11 games. By the end of his rookie season, he was being considered for the national team. He was invited to its training camp in January 2011, but he was hurt. Opara had fractured his left foot a few months earlier, and his recovery wasn't progressing fast enough. A theme began to emerge in Opara's career. He missed the last 23 games of the 2011 season and only played in 16 games the following year after his recovery stalled. He was traded to Sporting KC. But after being voted the team's 2013 Newcomer of the Year, he wasn't able to carry the momentum into the following season. Opara played only 3 games before suffering a right ankle injury. He began the 2015 season by being nominated for Major League Soccer Player of the Month in March, but then suffered a ruptured Achilles in April. It was a wide range of emotions, Opara says. The first was concern for my health for the rest of my life. But as I let the process play out, I wanted to be an inspiration to anyone who had seen my story. I wanted to be a success story. I wanted to be someone who overcame adversity. When it came to his own inspiration, Aparna turned to other athletes. He looked up the story of Thomas Davis, a linebacker for the NFL's Carolina Panthers. Davis tore his anterior cruciate ligament 3 times in 3 years. In 2012, Davis returned and recorded 105 tackles. In 2015, he was named All-Pro. I just remember thinking, if he can do it, why can't I? Aparna says. Aparna certainly had the talent to achieve that kind of recognition in Major League Soccer. I've always thought that he could easily attain the level he did, says Peter Vermes, Sporting KC's coach. It was whether he could get to a place where he could get a rhythm of play, where he wasn't injured. In 2016, Aparna made a career-high 25 appearances and signed a 3-year contract extension. But he kept hearing doubts. It was always something, he says. Teammates and even close and family friends thought that the injuries had really started to take a toll. But at that point, Aparna decided to find strength in those doubts. I said to myself, I'm going to change the narrative of my career, he says. I'm going to prove everyone wrong that has ever doubted me. I don't want to say I became obsessed with it, but I was finding ways, whether right or wrong, to fuel my motivation. Haters gonna hate. Aparna maintained that mindset throughout the season, especially when he wasn't selected for the All-Star game in July. He has used slights such as that one to motivate him, but he also feels that things have become easier. After a collision with an FC Dallas player in July that left him unconscious, he was surprised to find that soon after, he was actually being and feeling pretty good. I didn't even have that here-we-go-again feeling, he says. It was more, maybe the karma started to turn in my favor. He missed one game with a concussion and a ruptured eardrum. Now the goal for Aparna is continuing his elite play. Vermes thinks his star defender can improve. The ability for him to be better than he was last year is there, Vermes says. Aparna is focused most on consistency and not letting his breakout season go to waste. And, of course, he still has his fuel, says Aparna. Now people are going to say, he is a one-hit wonder. Well, the talent that made him a high draft pick and a national team prospect at a young age hasn't gone away. And since Aparna is always on the lookout for something, big or small, to give him a little extra motivation, his reign among Major League Soccer defenders is just starting. I always knew I had the ability, he says. I wasn't surprised because I've always held myself to that standard. I was surprised in the sense of what I overcame. Continuing on page 21, the Dynamite Dudes on D. Aparna is the league's top defender, but he's not the only stud at the position. Here are three other Major League Soccer players who can change the course of a game from the back line. Justin Morrow, Toronto Football Club. The 5'9", 165-pounder scored 8 goals last year to lead all defenders, and he added 1 assist. In a match against the Red Bulls, he had his first career hat trick and became the first Major League Soccer defender to score 3 times in a game since 1997. The 30-year-old played for the United States national team in 2 matches during the 2017 CONCACAF Gold Cup. Kendall Watson, Vancouver Whitecaps Football Club. Last fall, the native of Costa Rica secured his country's second straight World Cup berth with a dramatic game-tying goal against Honduras in the 95th minute. Watson, 30, also had 4 goals and 1 assist in 2017 with the Whitecaps, leading his team with 50 interceptions and 26 blocks. Harrison Aful, Columbus Crew Soccer Club. Coming off a terrific 2016 campaign during which he had 3 goals and 3 assists, Aful, 31, struggled with injuries throughout the 2017 regular season. But the right back delivered when healthy, scoring the first goal of the year in the Crew's 4-1 victory over New York City Football Club in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Hollywood Heights. Picture of Indiana's high-flying Victor Oladipo was just one of the young stars making a splash at a wild NBA All-Star weekend. Shows a picture of old Oladipo with a mask on his head going in for the dunk. Super slammer. He may not have won the dunk contest, but the Oladipo had some fun with it, borrowing a Black Panther mask from Bossman and wowing the crowd. What a difference a year makes. Last February, Victor Oladipo spent All-Star Weekend in Washington, D.C., visiting with his father, Chris. Victor and his dad weren't that close. Chris had worked two jobs to put Victor and his sister through school, which meant Victor and Chris rarely saw each other. In fact, Chris had never seen Victor play in the NBA. They spent 31 and a half hours talking. It had been a long time since we had a real conversation, Victor says, but you got to work it out, because he's your dad. So his opinion means more than anybody's. He's told me he believes in me and that he gave me a huge boost. 1 year later, in his fifth season, Oladipo was in Los Angeles to play in his first All-Star game. After moving to the Indiana Pacers, his third team in 3 years, in an offseason trade for Paul George, Oladipo elevated his game. He increased his scoring from 15.9 points per game last year with the Orlando Magic to 24.4 by the All-Star break. The Pacers were expected to plummet in the standings without George. Behind Oladipo, they were 33-25 at the break. All-Star Weekend was a dizzying experience. Oladipo hosted parties with Cardi B and Snoop Dogg. He sang with Jamie Foxx. He took part in a slam dunk contest, borrowing a Black Panther mask from star Chadwick Boseman. He was fitted with dozens of outfits and got his hair cut. He woke up early to work out, and on Sunday he went online to watch the sermon from his church back home in Maryland. He also finally played in front of his dad. Chris flew in from Washington and saw his son score 7 points for the victorious team LeBron. After the game, father and son embraced. A year ago today, Victor said, "You told me I could achieve anything." This, Chris replied, "is only the beginning." Has pictures here of Oladipo dancing with the crowd, getting his hair cut. Walk of Fame, accompanied by a student from After School All-Stars Los Angeles, Oladipo soaked in the atmosphere at player introductions for Team LeBron's practice. Jazzing things up. More about All-Star Weekend. The favorite to win NBA Rookie of the Year is Ben Simmons of the Philadelphia Sixers, who was so highly touted coming into the league that some national publications, like this one, put him on their covers before he even played a game. While Simmons has lived up to the hype, he's not going to run away with the award thanks to Donovan Mitchell. The former Louisville guard has been spectacular, averaging 19.6 points per game for the Jazz. But since he plays in Utah, he hasn't exactly been getting major coverage. That changed over All-Star Weekend and Mitchell's debut on the national stage. The 6'3" jumping jack won the slam dunk contest, putting on an unforgettable show. In the weeks leading up to the competition, he told Sports Illustrated, "I'm pretty nervous. I'm more nervous than any other player in this game and this season. I'm worked up, but I'm excited." Mitchell said his favorite dunker is Aaron Gordon of the Orlando Magic. In a twist, Mitchell got his spot in the contest when Gordon backed out with an injury. "When I was in high school, I would watch his highlights all the time," Mitchell said. I learned a lot of my dunk from him. But when it came to pay homage to a great leaper, Mitchell went old school. For his final dunk, he recreated the 360-degree windmill jam that Vince Carter used to win the 2000 contest while wearing a Carter Raptors jersey. Before that, Mitchell scored a perfect 50 for a dunk in which he caught a pass off the side of the backboard, then jumped over his sister Jordan and comedian Kevin Hart and Hart's son. Asked why he included his sister, Mitchell said, "Well, she's been to so many games, she's missed so many parties with friends. It's tough sometimes being a popular athlete sibling. I'm glad I could give this to her and have her be a part of it." Seriously awesome. Shows here Donovan Mitchell jumping over Kevin Hart, his sister, and Kevin Hart's son. seriously awesome. Mitchell scored a perfect 50 after dunking over his sister, comedian Hart, and Hart's son. Then Mitchell scored some hardware. The kids are all stars. Grown-ups weren't the only ones making news and plays during All-Star Weekend. Actors Caleb McLaughlin of Stranger Things and Miles Brown of Blackish were on opposing teams in the Celebrity All-Star Game. "This is my second time in the Celebrity All-Star Game," the 16-year-old McLaughlin said before the game. "So I'm just happy I got to come back and join this amazingness." Of course, being the smallest guys on the floor made things tricky. "I'm on the shorter side, so I use the Chris Paul type of style. The pick and roll, the passing, and the driving," said the 12-year-old Brown. "I can get you open if you need to get open. I'm more of a playmaker." McLaughlin finished with 4 points and Brown had two, but Brown's team came out on top, 75-66. Here's a picture at the top of the page, page 25. Small ballers, McLaughlin on the left and Brown below, took time away from their budding acting careers to enjoy some court action. Poster face-off. Kim Chloe, snowboarder, versus Michaela Schifrin, alpine skier. Age, Chloe Kim, 17. Michaela, 23. Height and weight. Chloe Kim is 5'3", 115 pounds. Michaela is 5'7", 145 pounds. Hometown. Chloe Kim is from Torrance, California. Michaela Schifrin, Eagle Vale, Colorado. Nickname, Chloe Kim. Well, her parents call her a Pugie. It's a hybrid word they made up that means baby girl dragon. Chloe was born in the year of the dragon for Imuji, and before she won her Olympic gold medal, her dad, Zhang Jin, texted her that today is your day to become a dragon. Michaela Schifrin, Snapsalot. Schifrin's ability to catch a few Z's at any time, in any place, even on the chairlift, is legendary among her coaches and teammates. Empty stomach, Chloe Kim. Raised eyebrows by tweeting just minutes before competing in the Olympic halfpipe that she was hangry because she hadn't finished her breakfast sandwich. Michaela? Raised eyebrows by routinely throwing up before races. Schifrin thought she was over her nervousness habit but lost her lunch in the starting gate before the 2018 Olympic slalom competition. Dog or cat? Chloe Kim has a mini Australian shepherd named Reese. Michaela, he has a tabby cat named Muffin, who also loves sleeping. Multilingual. Chloe Kim, in addition to English and Korean, her parents' native language, Chloe speaks French. She learned it while living in Switzerland with her aunt in third and fourth grade. Michaela can speak German. In 2016, Schifrin presented the award for Austrian sports personality to skier Marcel Hirscher in that language. Food crush, Chloe, addicted to Chipotle. Michaela loves pickles. Tunes, Chloe was listening to Paparazzi by Lady Gaga on one of her Olympic halfpipe runs. Michaela gets ready by listening to Eminem, can play the piano and guitar. Highlights, Michaela Schifrin, alpine skier. Career highlights, 2017-2018, Schifrin became just the third United States alpine skier to win two career Olympic gold medals when she came in first in the giant slalom in Pyeongchang. She then took silver in the combined event, which includes one downhill run and one slalom run. This season, she also won her first World Cup downhill event at Lake Lowes in Alberta, Canada in December. In 2016-2017, thanks to her dominance in slalom, Schifrin coasted to her first World Cup overall season title. Her six slalom victories also made her the World Cup champ in that discipline for the fourth time. 2013-2014, Schifrin became the youngest slalom gold medalist in Olympic history when she won in Sochi, 1 month shy of her 19th birthday. She fell in the second of her two runs, but she still came in first by more than half a second. Chloe Kim, career highlights. In 2018, Chloe became the breakout star of the Olympics by winning the half-pipe gold medal in style. She had the title sewed up before her third and final run with a score of 93.75. Instead of taking it easy, she landed back-to-back 1080s to pull down a score of 98.25. 2016, at the 2016 Winter Youth Olympics in Lillehammer, Norway, Chloe won gold in the girls' half-pipe and slope style. She also made history at the United States Grand Prix, becoming the first female snowboarder to land back-to-back 1080s and scoring a perfect 100. In 2014, despite mathematically qualifying for the United States Olympic halfpipe team, 13-year-old Chloe was unable to compete because the rules mandated that snowboarders had to be 15. She later said she thought it was a blessing in disguise. "I don't think I would have been able to take it, to handle the pressure," she said. Baseball preview. Step right up, sluggers. Major League hitters are sending balls out of the parks at a record rate. What's behind the surge? How is it changing the game? Picture here, power hitters shown here on the page. Power hitters such as Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Edwin Encarnacion, Cody Bellinger, and Noah Arenado are now setting the tone in Major League Baseball. Page 32. John Franklin Baker was baseball's first superstar slugger. In fact, his name was Home Run. It's funny, then, that he never hit more than 12 round-trippers in a season. Still, Baker smacked enough to lead the American League in home runs four times in a row through 1911 through 1914. Safe to say that old Home Run Baker would have had a hard time recognizing today's game. Remember those league-hitting 12 homers he hit for the Philadelphia A's in 1913? Last year, 215 players hit at least a dozen dingers. Rookie Riz Hoskins of the Phillies hit 18, and he played only 50 games after being called up from the minors in August. This year, the Yankees have a chance to be the best slugging squad in the history of the game. New York led the majors with 241 homers last year. Aaron Judge smacked 52 in his first full season, more than any player in the big leagues except one, Giancarlo Stanton, who hit 59 for the Marlins. And this year, Stanton will be in pinstripes. Let's continue this next week. We've run out of the time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138.